भगवत्पादम् शङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् शूद्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेवाय दक्षिणामूर्तये
वेदो नित्यमधीयताम् तदुदितम्
वेदो नित्यमधीयताम् तदुदितम्
कर्मस्वनुष्ठीयताम्
कर्मस्वनुष्ठीयताम्
तेनेशस्य विधीयतामपचितिः
तेनेशस्य विधीयतामपचितिः
काम्ये मतिस्त्यज्यताम्
काम्ये मतिस्त्यज्यताम्
पापौघः परिधूयताम् भवसुखे
पापौघः परिधूयताम् भवसुखे
दोषोऽनुसन्धीयताम्
दोषोऽनुसन्धीयताम्
आत्मेच्छा व्यवसीयताम् निजगृहात्
आत्मेच्छा व्यवसीयताम् निजगृहात्
पूर्णम् विनिर्गम्यताम्
पूर्णम् विनिर्गम्यताम्
सत्सु विधीयताम् भगवतो
सङ्गसत्सु विधीयताम् भगवतो
भक्तिर्दृढाधीयताम्
भक्तिर्दृढाधीयताम्
शान्त्यादिः परिचीयताम् दृढतरम्
शान्त्यादिः परिचीयताम् दृढतरम्
कर्माशु सन्त्यज्यताम्
कर्माशु सन्त्यज्यताम्
सद्विद्वानुपसृत्यताम् प्रतिदिनम्
सद्विद्वानुपसृत्यताम् प्रतिदिनम्
तत्पादुका सेव्यताम्
तत्पादुका सेव्यताम्
ब्रह्मैकाक्षरमर्त्यताम् श्रुतिशिरो
ब्रह्मैकाक्षरमर्त्यताम् श्रुतिशिरो
वाक्यम् समाकर्ण्यताम्
वाक्यम् समाकर्ण्यताम्
Acharya has talked about Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga, the practice of meditation, not directly, indirectly. And then he entered into the topic of the Jnana Yoga Sadhana, which is consisting of three steps. Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. Shravana means consistent and systematic study of Vedanta with the help of a competent teacher. But as I told you, the technical definition is Shravanam is the process of arriving at the tatparyam, the final conclusion of Vedanta. Vedanta tatparyava dharananukulo manasa vyaparaha shravana. I have told the same thing in English. Mental activity, which is in the form of analysis or the study, meant for tatparyava dharana, ascertainment of the final conclusion of Vedanta, that is Shravana. Means you attain the vision of Vedanta, the final vision of Vedanta, what Vedanta wants to say finally. So many things Vedanta talks about. Vedanta talks about creation, Vedanta talks about Panchakosha, Vedanta talks about three bodies. So many things Vedanta talks about. And sometimes we get lost in the details. And we, by heart, all those things, Panchikaranam, how it happens, from Sattvikamsa, this happens, Rajasikamsa, this happens, all those things we remember. But finally what Shastra wants to say, that I didn't ask my teacher. So that should not happen. So Shravanam means finally arriving at the Tatparya. I hope you are familiar with the word Tatparya. Tatparya means the final conclusion. The vision Shruti is committed to give. That is Tatparya. Option. So arriving at the Tatparyam of Vedanta is called Vedanta Shravana. And that is to be done by going to the teacher. So Sadvidvan Upasrutyata. Let a proper learned person be approached. Here, in every sentence of Sadhana Panchakam, we have to supply one word I have been forgetting to tell, and that is Tvaya, by you, or Sadhakena, by a sadhaka. So everywhere, Vedo Nityam Dhiyatam, let Veda be studied every day. By whom? Not by somebody, by you. Or suppose you don't like to be instructed, then what? Sadhakena. Let a sadhaka study Vedanta regularly. So some people have allergy to instruction. The reason is they have been instructed too much in the childhood. When you are instructed too much in the childhood, then you have allergy. Like one Swamiji, he had jaundice, and therefore he had to eat at least morning, afternoon, evening. And therefore he doesn't like if he had dog. And he was given the potato sabji, morning, evening, this lunch and dinner in one ashram. Therefore he doesn't like potato. Similarly, we have been instructed too much in the childhood, then we have allergy to instruction. Even the name instruction, I don't know. Therefore, if you don't like Tvaya, Tvaya means by you, then you say what? Sadhakena. So, by sadhaka, Veda should be studied regularly. So, everywhere, either you supply Tvaya by you, or you supply Sadhakena. So, here also, Sadvidvan Upasruptyata. Let a Vedanta teacher, or let an appropriate teacher, the best teacher if possible, be approached. And after approaching, what is to be done? His seva, his or her seva to be done. And then, Brahme kaksharam archyata. Ekam eka akshara brahma archyata. Non-dual, one which is imperishable, that Brahman should be archyata, should be asked for, should be sought, should be prayed for. So Brahman is specified here. Which type of Brahman? Ekam. Ekam literally means one. But here one stands for free from all kinds of divisions. And in Shastra, we talk about three types of division. Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Svagata, Bheda. Sajatiya Bhedaha means the difference or the division between two members of the same group. Like, this is a book and another thing also is a book. So both of them are having this group class. What? Book. They both of them belong to the same class, book class. But still this book is different from another book. So the difference between the members of the same group is called Sajatiya Bheda. This tree and another tree. So both of them are tree only, but they have still difference. this is this tree and that is another tree. Sajatiya Veda. Another Veda division is called Vijatiya Veda. The difference between the tree and the stone, rock, is what? Vijatiya Veda. This is a tree and that is a rock. So that type of difference, the difference between two things belonging to two different class, two different species, that difference is called Vijatiya Veda. And the third one is called Swagata Veda, internal division. In one tree itself, there are so many parts. We have got the root, we have got the stem, branch, twig, flower, fruit. These are called internal divisions. In Sanskrit it is called Swagata Veda. So when we say Ekaha, what we mean is that which is free from all types of divisions. And that is non-dual, indivisible. Non-dual or indivisible. Divisionless, division-free Brahman, which is imperishable, Aksharam. So this Aksharam Brahma, the ultimate reality, should be asked for. Means Shishya has to, the student has to pray for it. So now the relationship is struck. Guru has allowed the student to ask the question and Shishya has asked the question. Now alone he can be called Shishya. In Shastra, the meaning of the word Shishya is Shastana Yogyaha Shishya. Shastana has got two meanings. Shastana means teaching and Shastana means the instruction. Again, here instruction has come. One who is worthy of instruction, disciplining, is called Shishya. Or one who is worthy of teaching is called Shishya. Shastana Yogya Shishya. So now this relationship is struck. And now Guru will start the teaching. And Shishya has to listen to the teaching. And that was said, Shruti Shiro Vakyam Samakarnata. Shruti Shiraha Vakyam. In Sanskrit, the word Shira is Sakaranta Shabda. So that is why it is Shruti Shiro. I think all of some of you might have studied this Sandhi. Visarga, when it is preceded by A and followed by a soft consonant, then Visarga Aha becomes O. Actually, Visarga becomes U and A plus U becomes O. Ramaha Gacchati becomes what? You have studied this? What is the name of this Sandhi? Nichita has given another name, no? Namo Nama. It is Namo Nama Sandhi. So, here also Namo Nama Sandhi. Shiraha Vakyam. So Sakara has become Visarga and Visarga has changed to U and A plus U becomes O. Therefore, Shiro Vakyam. And since this Shruti Shiro Vakyam is a one word, we cannot break a sandhi while chanting. So here we have to chant like this. Brahmaikakshara Martyatam Shruti Shiro. We cannot say Shruti Shira. Even though original word is Shruti Shira. Suppose Shruti Shiraha was at the end, we would have said Shruti Shiraha. Brahmaikakshara Martyatam Samakarnitam Shruti Shiraha. Then we would have said Shruti Shiraha. But here it is in between. And therefore, or it was a Shruti Shiraha Asti. Then we can break Sandhi. Otherwise, Shruti Shiro Vakyam Samakarnita. Shruti Shiro means Shruti Shiraha means the head of the Vedas. The main part of the Vedas. all the Vedas are finally meant for revealing Brahman. And therefore the portion which is revealing Brahman is called the main part of the Vedas. And therefore Shruti Shiraha refers to Vedanta. Shruti Shiro Vakyam means Vedanta Vakyam Samakarnyata. Should be listened to. And we saw that there are two types of sentences, Avantara Vakya and Mahavakya. Both should be listened to. Mainly here he refers to this Avantara Vakya because in the next sentence he is going to talk about Mahavakya. But here also we can understand. Shruti Shiro Vakyam Samakarnyatam means all the sentences of Vedanta Vakya taught by Guru should be listened to very well, completely. Now comes the next one. Vakyarthascha vicharyatam shrutishirah pakshasamashriyatam.
Vakyarthascha vicharyatam shrutishirah pakshasamashriyatam.
Sarkasu viramyatam shrutimathas sarkonu sandhiyatam.
Sarkasu viramyatam shrutimathas sarkonu sandhiyatam.
Brahmasmiti vibhavyatam harahar garvah parityajyatam.
Brahmasmiti vibhavyatam harahar garvah parityajyatam.
Deheham matirujyatam buddhajanirvadah parityajyatam.
Deheham matirujyatam buddhajanirvadah parityajyatam.
Now he says, Vakyarthaha cha vicharyatam. This is the next instruction. So it will be the instruction, every shloka has got 8 instructions. So 8 plus 8, 16, this is 17th instruction. 17th suggestion. Vakyarthaha vicharyatam. So some way like instruction, not the suggestion. I will not say request, no? Because Acharya will not request. We should not impute that type of sense. So Acharya is requesting the student, please study me. No, Acharya will not do that. Anyways, he did not do it, and it is not good that he does. So Vakyarthaha Vicharyatam. Cha, cha means and Vakyarthaha, the meaning of the sentence. Vicharyata should be reflected upon, or let the meaning of the sentence be reflected upon. Vicharyata means be reflected upon. Vakyarthaha means the meaning of the sentence. Cha and let the meaning of the sentence be reflected upon. Here, as with this topic of Shravanam continues, Vakyarthaha literally means the meaning of the sentence. But here it refers to Mahavakya. So here we have to understand Mahavakyarthaha Vicharyata. Because there some more analysis is required. Other vakyartha also should be reflected upon, but this requires more attention. Therefore, Mahavakyartha Vicharyata. Here I would like to clarify one thing. Some people get confused between Vakyartha and Vachyartha. Vakyartha, ka is there? Vakyartha. V-A-K-Y-A-R-T-H. Vakyartha. Other one is what? Vachyartha. V-A-C-H-Y-A. In I think Tamil ka and cha almost similar it looks like. But I found that in some of the notes where Vachyartha is to be written, I found Vakyartha. And some place Vakyartha, perhaps Vachyartha. Therefore, be clear, Vakyartha means the meaning of the sentence. Vachyartha means the immediate or popular meaning of a word. Okay? So Vakyartha is different, Vachyartha is different. So let us be this much clear. Now, Vakyartha, as I said, Mahavakyartha. The meaning of the Mahavakya, great sentences, be reflected upon. And how the reflection would be, how the analysis, the reflection is analysis, how the reflection or analysis would be, to understand that we have to go back to Tattva Bodha. Just few days ago we have done that. Mahavakya is Jiva Brahma Aikya Bodhaka Vakya. Bodhakam Vakya. A sentence revealing the oneness between Jiva and Vishwa. Or Akhandartha Bodhakam Vakya. A sentence which is revealing divisionless reality. The reality which is free from all kinds of division. Jiva Ishvara division, Jada Chetana division, Jiva Jagat division, Jiva Jiva division. Free from all kinds of division. The reality which is there behind all divisions and by itself free from all divisions. Divisionless reality behind all divisions is called Akhandartha. And the sentence which is revealing this Akhandartha is called Akhandartha Bodhakam Vakyam and it is called Mahavakya. So Mahavakya is revealing the equation. Jiveshwara, Jiveshwaraikya Bodhakam Vakyam. That sentence is revealing oneness, means it is revealing equation. Equation will have two characteristics. Ganapati, you ask him, you want something? In contradiction is the first feature of equation. I hope all of you remember. If you remember, it is very good. If you don't remember, also very good. Why? Because if you don't remember, you will listen with more attention. Otherwise, some of you may switch off mobile, your mental mobile. Alright, so I will not go into detail. But seeming difference will be there. And when the seeming difference is not known as seeming difference, it will be taken as real difference. And when both the sides are taken to be having real differences, then there will be a doubt. How can there be equation between Jiva and Ishvara? Because Jiva and Ishvara have got seeming difference. And seeming difference is not understood as seeming difference. Therefore, it will be taken as real difference. And when there is a real difference between Jiva and Ishvara, how can you equate them? If you remember Tattva Bodha, there is a doubt. Nanu, Sahamkarasya, Kinsignasya, Jivasya, Grahankarasya, Sarvakrasya, Ishvarasya, Tatamasiti Mahavakya, Kadamabeda Buddhi. So, how there can be non-difference between Jiva and Ishvara, who are having opposite qualities, Viruddha Dharma Prantatva, they are endowed with opposite qualities. So this type of doubt will be there. And that doubt is resolved by seeing factual non-difference. And how do we see factual non-difference? We say the difference between Jiva and Ishvara is at the upadhi level. At the level of Swarupa, from the standpoint of the Swarupa of Jiva and Ishvara, there is no difference whatsoever. And we give the example of wave, ocean, water. Wave and ocean are different from the standpoint of Nama and Rupa, Upadhi. But from the standpoint of H2O, there is no difference whatsoever. Similarly, between Jiva and Ishvara, there is no difference whatsoever from the standpoint of consciousness, which is the essential nature of Jiva and Ishvara. In this manner, we resolve the difference. And technically, we present it by saying that Vachyartha Drashtya Bheda. From the standpoint of the Vachyartha, the immediate meaning of the word Tvam and Tat, there is a difference. Because Vachyartha of Jiva is Avidyopadi Atma or Antakkarana Vishishta Atma. The Atma endowed with this limited Upadi. And Ishvara is, a consciousness with limited Upadi. And Ishvara is consciousness with limitless Upadi. And limited, limitless cannot have the equation. And therefore, Vachyartha, from the standpoint of Vachyartha, there is a difference. But Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the word Tvam is consciousness. The implied meaning of the word Tat is consciousness. And therefore, from the standpoint of Lakshyartha, there is no difference whatsoever. This is called Vakyartha Vicharita. Since all of you have studied Tattva Bodha just 2 days ago, I am not elaborating. Otherwise, we take one class, Vakyartha Vicharita, one class sentence. So this is analyzing the meaning of this Mahavakya. And there can be any number of doubts. We have seen one or two doubts. That how about if Jiva and Ishvara are one, then Jiva should be knowing everything. Jiva should have all power. I don't have all power. I don't have all knowledge. Now there can be oneness. All those doubts are to be resolved. We have done that in Tattva Bodha. By saying that knowing everything or knowing little is based on Upadhi. And since Jiva is with a particular Upadhi, Jiva is with particular Upadhi. And therefore, he will have the knowledge occurring in that Upadhi. And therefore, even though essential oneness is understood, still Jiva will not know everything. Like the wave understands that I am one with the ocean as far as the water is concerned, still this wave will not be able to support the ship. The ocean alone can support the ship. So Nama Rupa, whatever Nama Rupa can do, that only a particular Nama Rupa will. Essential oneness doesn't bring the oneness at the functional level, at the Upadhi, features of the Upadhi. So all those doubts are resolved. Vakyartha Vicharita. Remove all the doubts. And then finally what you do? Shruti Shiraha Pakshaha Samashriyata. Samashriyata means be resorted to. Shruti Shiraha Pakshaha. Pakshaha means the view, the final view, the final conclusion of Shruti Shiraha Vedanta. Shruti Shiraha Pakshaha is one word. Even though in some book maybe it's one word here only. It should be one word. Shruti Shiraha Pakshaha. Shruti Shiraha Pakshaha, in my book it is given separately. After A, the line cannot put because it's in between the center. They cannot put line. So it's okay, they have written one only because there is no space between Visarga and Pa, there is no space. No? And therefore it is one only. Correct. But in my book it is not correct. When you study a little more grammar, you will understand that why it should be one word. The Shruti Shiraha and Pakshaha, they don't believe Anvaya. Shruti Shiraha Pakshaha. The view, Pakshaha means the view. And that too, final view. The final conclusion ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಶಿರಹ ಆಫ್ ವೇದಾಂತ. ಸೊ ದ ಫೈನಲ್ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ವಿಚ್ ಈಸ್ ಜೀವ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಐಕ್ಯಂ ಆರ್ ಅಖಂಡಾರ್ಥ. ದೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಒನ್ ಹೋಮೋಜಿನಿಯಸ್ ಡಿವಿಷನ್ ಲೆಸ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಹೋಮೋಜಿನಿಯಸ್ ಡಿವಿಷನ್ ಲೆಸ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್. ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಶಿರಃ ಪಕ್ಷ. ಐ ಆಮ್ ನಾನ್ ಡ್ಯುವಲ್ ಡಿವಿಷನ್ ಲೆಸ್ ಹೋಮೋಜಿನಿಯಸ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್, ದ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಬಿಹೈಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ಅಪರೆಂಟ್ ಡಿವಿಷನ್ಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಫೈನಲ್ ವ್ಯೂ. And in that shloka as it is said, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. This is the Shruti Shiraha Paksha. Brahma alone is Satyam because it is Adhishthanam. Jagat is Mithya because it is Karyam. And Jivo Brahmaiva, Jiva is Brahma alone. Now for nothing else. And this understanding is the Shruti Shiraha Paksha. This the content of this understanding is Shruti Shiraha Paksha. And that Sam Ashriyatam. Ashriyatam is resorted to. And Sam means Samyak, very well, with clarity. Means you have observed all, or you have analyzed all the sentences of Vedanta and resolved the possible contradiction. And then you have come to this understanding that I am limitless Brahman. That is what is meant by Sam. Sam is very well. So, let the conclusion or the final conclusion of Vedanta be very well resorted to. This is passive voice, therefore we will translate like this. In simple words, may you resort to, may you arrive at the final conclusion of Vedanta. And that is what? Jiva Brahma Ekyam. I am limitless. Samashriyatam. Be very well resorted. Means resolve all possible contradictions in Vedanta Vakyas. In Vedanta, some places it is said, Dvasuparna Sayuja Sakhayo. Jiva and Ishvara are like two birds. Sentences are like that. And Jiva is very dukhi. Anishaya, dukhi means miserable. Anishaya, sochati. Sochati means he is miserable. He is sad. And Ishvara is sarvajnaha, sarvashaktivan. And thus, there are some sentences which may appear contradictory to this vakyartha. So all of them are to be resolved. When it is said Jiva and Ishvara are like two birds, it is from the standpoint of vachyartha, upadhi. Therefore it is all right. No sentence in Vedanta should threaten us. Oh, if this sentence is there, how can that be mahavakyartha? Okay, I will break it this sentence. That is our approach. Anything we can't handle, what we do, we break it. In life also we do. Oh, this fellow is too much. Break it. This girl is to one. This is what we have been doing. But it is okay also to do it to some extent. But here in Vedanta also you start keep doing that. Any sentence which is, you know, threatening my Mahavakyartha, break it. Break it, break it. In fact, then most of the part will be bracketed only. Very few things will be outside the bracket. No. All the sentences of Vedanta I should be able to reconcile. That is what is done in Brahma Sutra, which is called Samanvayadhyaya. Samanvaya means convergence. All the sentences of Vedanta are converged into this vision, Brahman. non-dual Brahman. The convergence of all the sentences of Vedanta should happen in our mind. And that is Shruti Shiraha Pakshaha Samashriyata. Otherwise, we will be all the time threatened. Nobody should ask you from that particular portion. Even if you start teaching Vedanta, see, nobody should ask that. Like one person, no, in Bangalore, he is a student also, he was teaching also. Any student, Swamiji, I always used to have this fear. When I was teaching, I would have fear that if somebody asked me this question about rope snake, what will I say? So he made me all the time praying, Shanti Pat, nobody should ask. But when you have done thorough analysis, then you can welcome any sentence. Vedantinaha manaha na khityate. The mind of the Vedanti will not be disturbed by any sentence in Vedanta. First he can say, I want to see the meaning, what is the context you are giving. But no threat. And this is called Shravanam. Then person has done the Shravanam completely. And this is otherwise called Pramanagata Shanka Nivruttihi. Nivruttihi means resolution. Resolution of the doubts regarding Pramanam. Pramanam means the Tatparyam of Pramanam. Pramanam means the means of knowledge. In this context, it is Shruti. Pramanagata Shanka Nivruti. So all the doubts regarding the Tatparyam of Shruti are resolved. That is Shruti Shiraha Pakshaha Samashriyata. This is that. And here one more thing is that some people may be interpreting this Tattvamasi Mahavakya differently. They will say, Tattvamasi means Tasyatvamasi. Between Tat and Tvam, there is a samasa. Compound. Some of us can say, Samir, we don't know samasa, so don't ask. Samasa means what? What?
Compound.
So we will not be, we'll tell this, our answer will be simple. Somebody said, Tattvamasi, between Tat and Tvam, there is a samasa. He said, what samasa? But there's a possibility of this doubt. In fact, I remember when we were studying Vedanta in our ashram, and our Swamiji sent us. We had a small group. We were about 5 to 6 students. So our Swamiji sent us on Padayatra. We had to go to one place, 65 kilometers walking. On foot we had to go. So me and my friend were sent, and on the way we have to stay wherever. We were not supposed to have money. Money should not be there with us. So we have to learn how to live on in the trust of God. The good training we were given. It's called Padayatra. We have to manage. So we were going from one place to another place like that, and one temple we stayed. And when we went there, that the head of that particular matha, he was a Vaishnavite. And when he went there before breakfast, he had some discussion, and he started. I said, he told, what is the Tatpurya of Vedanta and all this? Before breakfast, he wanted to, like, yes. We are worthy of giving the breakfast. And he asked, what is that? I said, Tattvamasi. Recently studied, no? So what is Tattvamasi? Tattvamasi means you are Ishvara. Then he asked me in Sanskrit, he asked, just to like, you know, overwhelm me. He said, Tasyatvamiti katam na bhavitum arhati. I was a little bit, you know, starting. And, katam bhavitum arhati. Means, how can it be so? Tasyatvam, why not it be so? Not thought over that, because this doubt I had not entertained. We were not taught perhaps. Afterwards it was taught. And therefore, for 5 minutes and he could not answer. Then that Mathadipati, with a victorious smile, he left us. He said, "You think over." Then me and my friend started thinking. And then we said that your samasa cannot happen and all this. Some answer we gave. And perhaps he was happy because he gave us breakfast. So one doubt, this type of doubt also is possible. That tattvamasi, why not tasyatvam? Means, tasyatvam means you belong to him. You are not him. Tasya means to him or of him. You are his. Means you belong to the Lord. Don't say I am the Lord. You belong to your father. Don't say I am the father. So this type of sentence, the doubts also we have to resolve. Some people say, tasmin tvamasi. You are in that. Means, you are like a wave in the ocean. Ishvara is like the ocean, you are like a wave. Just as a wave is there in the ocean, you are in the ocean. You are a part of the ocean. So like this, so many doubts will be there. In interpretation of the sentences, we have to resolve them. And arrive at samashriyatam. Arrive at this conclusion that this and this alone can be the meaning of the sentence tattvamasi. And then, we have removed the pramana gata shanka, the doubt regarding the tatparyam of the main pramana. Now, having resolved this internal contradiction, possible internal contradiction, now we have to face some opposition from other philosophers. And those doubts are to be resolved. Or any other means of knowledge can raise the doubt, and they are to be resolved. And that process of resolving the doubts regarding the tatparyam of Shruti you already arrived at is called manana. By Shravanam you arrived at the final understanding or final conclusion of Vedanta. Now, regarding that final conclusion of Vedanta which you have understood, there can be some doubts by other philosophers. And resolving those doubts, or the doubts created by our own mind based on what we have read somewhere, we have heard somewhere, that process of resolving a doubt is called mananam. So now in the next sentence, the fourth stage of sadhana called mananam is talked about. Dustartat suviramyatam shrutimatas tarkonu sandhiyatam. Mananam is the process of resolving doubts with the help of reasoning. But doubts are based on our intellectual thinking only. Doubts are not emotional, doubts are intellectual. And therefore, we have to use the language in which doubts are raised. Doubts are raised in the language of logic. How can it be so? Means logic. So, since doubts are raised in the language of reasoning, resolution of the doubts also has to be in the language of reasoning. Therefore, the process of resolving the doubts with the help of reasoning is called mananam, reflection. It means that we have to use reasoning, logic. We cannot be afraid of logic. We cannot afford to avoid logic. No, sorry. Logic you don't tell me. What is the final thing you tell me? That will not work in manana. The fear is that of logic. Some people have like mathematic fear. No? They don't like it. They see mathematics, they are frightened. some people logic, this phobia, logic phobia. I think there can be a name for that phobia because we have a name for almost all phobias. So name gives also. So we have to use the logic, reasoning. But what type of reasoning should be used and what type of reasoning should be avoided, that is said by the Acharya. Reasoning is definitely to be used, but we have to make sure that we use appropriate reasoning leading us to the conviction, clarity. And therefore Acharya said, Dustarkat Suviramyata. Suviramyata means desist from or withdraw from, and that also su, very well, completely. Desist from dustarka, false logic, baseless logic, inappropriate logic. Su, completely. Desist from false, inappropriate logic, completely. Let's say su is there. Su means very well. What is the meaning of dustarka? Tarka means logic. But the logic should be in conformity with the pramana. In every area, there is a pramana. In the area of seeing color, eyes are pramana. So whatever logic you use, it should be in conformity with your eyes. I am seeing, suppose, red color. And by logic, I want to prove that no, it is not red color. Yeah, if the person proves that you have this particular color blindness, that is okay. That is within the field of the pramana. The pramanam can have some defect and pramanam can be corrected. Like my glasses can have dust and I can wipe it. But no, you are not seeing, you cannot see red color, that you cannot say based on logic. Like other day I told you, other day we saw it, that if you go to the doctor and you say, I have so much pain, doctor, he puts you on so many tests and all tests are negative. Negative is sometimes good also. Tests are negative is good. Earlier I did not understand, oh my god, negative? Test is negative? It is good to have negative test. Test negative. So all tests are negative. So doctor says what? You should not have pain. What? You should not have pain. Why? All tests are negative. This is called dustarka. Because whether I have pain or not, I am pramana. My mind is pramana. Whatever logic you use, you cannot use the logic which is against the main pramanam in a given area. Suppose I give a logic. If you remember, every logic has got three steps. If you remember, what are the three steps? Do you remember? Pratigna, Hetu, Udaharanam. Proposition, reason, and example. These are the three steps. If you remember in Tattva Bodha, we have seen. So now somebody uses this logic. Water is always hot. Water is always hot. Why? Because it is an element. Like what? Fire. Fire is an element. Fire is always hot. Water is an element, therefore water must be always hot. Logic. But I am experiencing it is cold. I am seeing very cold it is. I request solar heater to be on. I have to bring it this point also. Solar heater or whatever heater should be on, I wish. And now this lady, I mean this your what is called coordinator is giving you logic. No, water must be hot only. Our Anuradha says water must be hot. Why? Because it is an element, panchamahabhuta. Like what? Fire. So this logic is called what? Dustarka. Now you understand what is dustarka? False logic, which is not based on the main pramanam in the given area. Dustarka. Similarly, with regard to Vedanta also, we can have dustarka. So many dustarkas. They will say that who created this world? Vedanta says, Ishvara created this world. Achha? Ishvara created the world. It means he had some desire to create this world. Means before that he must be uncomfortable, because when you are uncomfortable then you have some desire. And when you have some desire you do something. So Ishvara must be feeling very bored, and therefore he must be miserable, and therefore he created this world. So your Ishvara is very, very boring person, or bored person. Not boring, but bored person. Or Ishvara must be cruel. Why? He created this world full of suffering. He must be very cruel. Or he must be incapable. Why? Because he cannot stop it. This is a very popular dustarka, you must have heard. Either Ishvara is very sadistic, and therefore he created this world full of suffering and he enjoyed. Very cruel. Suppose you say, no, what Ishvara can do? What poor Ishvara can do? Then he is a poor Ishvara. He is Alpa Shaktiman, like me. I also can do something. If there is a big fellow, I can take care of, but the mota fellow, I also keep quiet. It is like me only. Or suppose you say, no, Ishvara. Some people have always been asked. No, I did not have such intention. I did with a good intention, but it did not turn out to be so. It did not help others, but I started with good intention. Suppose you say, no, Ishvara started the world with good intention, but it turned out to be like this. It happened, no? You started making illies, but what turned out to be some is suji, upma. You wanted to make idli, but what turned out was upma. Possible. So similarly, Ishvara also, poor Ishvara, started with very good intention, but it turned out to be like this. Then he is not sarvajna. He is like me only. Every time I start, I do things with good intent, but people keep on criticizing. See, I am such a poor fellow. Nobody understands me. So Ishvara also will be having that complex. See, I started with good intention. Ishvara is not serving them. So all these tarkas can deter us. I think Ishvara is not. And this tarkas can deviate us from the main pursuit. Swami, does it mean that we don't have the answer? We have the answer for that. But this type of tarkas, which is against this vision of Shruti is what? That Ishvara created this world in keeping with the karmas of Jiva. When did karma of Jiva start? It never started. Anadi. How can it be anadi? It's illogical. But this is how it is. So dustarka, which is not in keeping with the main pramanam in a given area. In the matter of the creator, only shastram is pramanam. And therefore, the logic should be used in such a way that we invite the vision of Shiva. Otherwise, what will happen? That this tarka, somebody said that nothing can be beginningless. Why? Because anything which I am seeing has got the beginning. And therefore, what Shruti says is wrong. Nothing can be beginningless. This is dustarka. If something can be beginningless, this person is not ready to accept. He gives a logic. That karma of jiva must be having beginning. Like, why? Because it's a karma. Like this karma, I am seeing, I am walking. Walking is a karma. It has got beginning. And that is also karma. The result of the walking is a karma, therefore it has a beginning, therefore that karma is there. This type of tarka, which are not in keeping with the pramanam, main pramanam in the given area, is for dushtarka. Dushtarka. And from that type of dushtarka, suviramyata resists from that. Reasoning should be used in such a way that it helps us to understand the vision of Shiva. This will be slightly difficult for the people who have so-called rational mind. It's a very good mind. But rational mind should have enough rational to see the limitation of rationality. By reasoning itself, you can see that there is a limitation of reasoning. Like scientists have now discovered, they will never be able to see what exactly happened at the time of Big Bang. They have accepted. That's the good thing about science. They have accepted. Exactly at that time what happened, you will never be able to. What happened after 1 billionth of seconds, perhaps we'll be able to know. But exactly at that time what happened, we can never know. Similarly, with the help of reasoning itself, we understand the limitation of reasoning in certain areas, not all areas. That everything has to be logical only, that is not true. It should not be illogical, that is acceptable. We should not gulp down something which is illogical. But everything should be proved by logic only, that type of obsession sadhaka has to drop. Dustarka subhiramyata shruti vastat matastarkonu sandhiyata. Om Purnamada.